be life, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
This is Sylvie Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work, the metaphysical and spiritual information show designed to stretch your mind and help you think outside of the box. On today's show, as usual, my husband Mick will be deep trance channeling, and today we are going to be talking to the spirit world as usual and inviting you to not sending your emails. I haven't got that up today, but do phone in if you would like to join us. We'd love to hear from you. The number is the free phone in the USA. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free, but it's only a quick call. And that's 001-530-876-3222. And basically what we will be doing is talking to the spirit world, and actually I have some questions already from listeners that have previously sent me their questions by email, and this is something that you can do as well to enq@spirit-teaching.com, and it's not a personal reading type of show, but it's basically talking about life, the universe, and everything, and anything that you wanted to know that you didn't know who to ask, then the spirit world can, I'm sure, come up with some answers for you. So stay tuned and join us if you feel inclined to pick up the phone. That would be lovely.
Well, hi, I'm Mick Avery, and as well as the wonderful Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com, every Sunday now at 10 a.m. PST, we have another radio show which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 4 p.m. PST. That's midnight GMT. If you would like to know more about us, our books, CDs, book and Akashic reading, we suggest you go visit our website at www.spirit-teaching.com and also live at www.spiritsworkradio.com. This is, of course, that you can get all different kinds of information from either of our websites. And as Sylvie said, I am a deep trance medium. And each week, live on the show, I channel Gregory Hay, who had an earth life 300 years ago. I have the ability to completely hand over my body to the spirit world so they may use it to speak through. And I know absolutely nothing of what has happened during this time. This is actually because of the form of development that Sylvie and I went through. And Sylvie is actually a very totally integrated part of this whole process. It's her energy that allows this situation to happen and allows actually for me to go into the deep trance state completely. And when I go into this state, my conscious mind and my spirit are transported elsewhere by the spirit team who work with us, and then they bring me back again at the end of the session when the spirit communicator leaves. I not only miss the whole show, but I very rarely remember where it was that they took me either. And it's not actually necessary for me to remember that, because unlike shamanic practices and that kind of thing, it's not about the journey for me. It's about my absence from our physical plane of existence. That's the really important thing, because there can't be anything to do with my conscious mind here in the mix of it. I know full well that people would say, well, okay, but surely that they're using, that my mind must be used within the process because they're using my voice to speak through. But it's not like channeling that other people do. It's completely lights out, and I it's a bit like dying, really, I guess. And I have a completely out-of-body experience, so I don't know about anything that happens. And yes, they will from time to time take things to do with my consciousness, which is left behind in my brain, but that's about it. And there's not very much in there anyway, I can tell you.
Okay.
So anyway, I'm going to go now, and do have a great show, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the session, and please do take part.
Yes, that would be lovely. And just tell you a little bit about Gregory, our spokesperson today, our spirit guide. He's the spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Kaya Group, and they consist of many great minds as well as ordinary people. Between them, they have access to vast knowledge and insight and have come to bring their teachings because there's a need for us to have understanding beyond the constraint of our human minds. And I think probably there's not many people that would disagree with that. Whether they disagree with how it's done on this particular show is another thing, but subject matters that we cover will hopefully help you to become more knowledgeable and better informed as to the nature of your existence on Earth, as well as your continued life after physical death. So don't forget, if you have an idea for a topic or a subject you'd like us to talk about 1 week, or just send us your questions, or just if you haven't got questions, just tell me what topic you'd like to talk about and we will arrange a show around it, because the spirit world want to come and talk to us about, well, answer our questions, really. You know, I've said this before, they don't want to come and just sort of lecture to us week after week about things that they feel that we should know. They hopefully come to bring us answers to things that we are inquiring about, you know, that that will stretch our minds in all sorts of ways. And this, I think it's just wonderful that we have this with this bridge that we can cross this divide to do this for you. And we thank you for your emails and your constant support each week. That's fantastic. So we are again available to be seen later on secondlife.com. That's at 1 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to join us, that's 9 p.m. GMT in the UK, at the Mystic Academy in the New Oracle Temple, where you would have another chance to interact with Gregory. So I do believe Gregory's with us now. Hello, Gregory.
With love and light, blessings be, dear friend. Hello, little bird.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. Well, we've got loads of questions. I have some from Rosanna.
Yes.
And thank you for that, Rosanna. And I've also got some from Sarah. I think Sarah's in the UK.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering where to start here, actually. Okay. Let's start with, I want to start with something that's more lighthearted before we go into the sort of heavier stuff.
Very well.
Okay.
Very well. Yeah.
Probably for my benefit rather than yours. Okay. Let me see. Okay, I'm going to take this one from Sarah. Deja vu. She wants to know about deja vu. How does this happen? You know, you feel that you've known somebody before, or you've been somewhere before. You know what's going to be around the corner.
Yes.
Maybe before you even get around the corner, that sort of thing.
So we are talking about actual instances rather than situations, shall we say, of going to a town or village or some situation in physical life where you know what is around the corner, as in the image or picture that you are going to see of perhaps the vista, the collection of houses, the way that everything is orientated.
Or even a conversation. Sometimes it's a bit... this happens to me a lot, actually. I don't know about anybody else.
Yes.
I feel like I've had this conversation with this person before. Or I'm telling somebody something that I feel I've spoken about before.
Yes. Well, often it is about a situation called precognizance. And precognizance comes because simply your spirit has already met within the time frame moved from the time field that your spirit is in, because of course your spirit is in everywhere, which means that, quite simply, your spirit is not bound by one particular time field state. In actual fact, your spirit may well be looking at various other situations or oddities, if you like, situations of synchronicity which may be coming to your pathway in order to perhaps, in a sense, alight your memory. Now, it may well be that for many people they would say, well, if that's the case, then surely all people would be able to do that. Perhaps then someone who was about to be murdered would already know that that was going to be the case and surely would just simply run away from it. The point is that precognizance generally tends to happen when a person is of a certain specific vibration, and it's that vibration, meaning that you are in fact quite tuned in to your beautiful pure spirit at the time, that it means that precognizance can actually happen and the pathway of synchronicity can illuminate the travelogue of your consciousness, in a sense, so that it illuminates it to such a degree that you actually have a whole understanding already of what you are about to see. So it's no surprise to you.
Because it's not like a psychic link where you know what somebody's going to say.
No.
Before they've said it.
No.
You know, like, you know, the phone's going to ring, something like that. It's totally different because, I mean, I'm sure when you're a child, it tends to happen a lot as well. It's one of the earliest sort of, like, weird sort of things, to put it, basically, that has always tended to happen. Don't you think?
Yes, quite.
I guess children are more in tune with their spirit before they've had the, you know, too much of the material world and the negativity of the world, stifling that.
Yes, I understand. I do understand that.
So it's totally random, really. I mean, should we read more into it or not?
Well, the point is, I feel that oftentimes what will happen in those of the physical life will be that they will not actually access the levels of trust that they should have to do with their spirit journey. So oftentimes it will be that those thought forms or precognizant ideas and ideals will simply be wasted on them, and that they will oftentimes be rejected by the conscious mind. And that is an unfortunate precedent which is set, because you would think then that after a while of this happening, that the actual physical mind would wake up and really begin to digest and feel and understand that this is actually something which is worthwhile that's happening to you, rather than something that's a frivolity of illusion. After all, oftentimes it can be that the conscious mind actually picks up all kinds of stuff, rubbish, generally, and oftentimes it will be thought of or schemed as an illusion by others, and also, of course, by yourself. It's only when you have dealt with this for a while that you begin to realize that this is actually part of your gifts of spirit, as indeed it is.
Okay. Sarah also says that people talk about separate realities for different learning experiences outside of the restrictions of time, the coexistence of past, present and future time in a spiritual setting. Does this exist?
Well, oftentimes, my dear friend, there will be situations which the conscious mind will, in a sense, have differences of reality. It is subjective as to whether that person identifies in what reality they may be existing in, and also, comprehensively to this, is added the suggestion, auto-suggestion it becomes, of other stories being read or other stories been written about from other minds and under conscious thought, which then puts the illumination in there. So oftentimes it will be that the situations of illumination to do with time and the elements of time travel, if you were a person who'd actually read information about that kind of situation, it may well then quite simply be that you have one of those experiences. It doesn't mean that you are actually having one of those experiences. Oftentimes, the conscious physical mind will illuminate such pathways that are actually non-existent.
Okay.
And at other times, the illumination will be correct. So how do you know what is right and what's wrong? How do you know if you are actually really truthfully in a different time field or experiencing some kind of different wavelength? How do you know, for example, that the situation that's around you, if you can see with your eyes, is actually truthfully what you see? Oftentimes, people forget that they can use their own instrumentation, that they can use their own instrumentation about a specific kind of energy, which then means that if they were, shall we say, that they were seeing an orb or something like that, doesn't necessarily mean to say the orb is actually in the room. It may well be an illumination of the mind, not an illusion as such, although it can be that too. The best way of finding out whether something is actually in your physical reality is to place something between you and the object you are viewing. I know that in many respects within the conscious journeying, you cannot actually do that. It is well for you to reference something if you are going to use this as an exercise, that you actually reference something which would be calculated for your mind. So, for example, then, if you were particularly good, shall we say, at imagery in the conscious state, then imagine something which is like a stick, and that the stick is actually being held by your own limb in the consciousness journey. That would then mean that part of it will be a sense of feeling that's actually directed through your fingers because you're holding the object. This will then mean that you will have something to concentrate upon, therefore understand that wherever it is that you're going isn't just an illusion.
Could your guides give you this experience? Could it be something that your particular spirit team who work with you keep you? Oh, okay.
Yes, hello, Finn.
Hello.
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 Hi,
how
there.
Are you? What's your name?
Tanya.
Tanya?
Yeah.
Oh, hi, Tanya. Thank you
hi
for
there.
Calling. Hi. What's your question for Gregory?
My question for Gregory is, what exactly is going on when I'm experiencing sleep paralysis?
Ah, that's interesting.
Yes, very interesting, my dear friend. Sleep paralysis is sometimes due to a certain kind of out-of-body experience that one has, or perhaps to do with a kind of situation which happens when your spirit is not quite invocated. So it means that, friend, that what can happen during a certain state of sleep, that you actually feel completely immobilized, but that in actual fact it's as though your spirit is either trying to leave or trying to get back. Part, however, also of what can be happening here is that the whole state of consciousness is having an elliptical illusion problem, and that can actually happen because of certain kinds of illumination which are due to chemical imbalances in the physical state. So what I'm saying, dear friend, is that sometimes these kinds of conditions can be, for example, to do with a lack of water, a lack of salt, a lack of B12, a lack of B6 can also induce that kind of problematic situation. Other times sleep paralysis can happen and occur because of interference from others, although this appears, I would suggest to you, not to be what is happening to you. Other situations of reports that we have had from our side of life as well is that beings in the physical world have actually had problems when being, shall we say, investigated by other life forms from different places. And this is also a possibility. I feel that, my dear friend, for you at this time, it's actually because of a consciousness state that is going on, and that what tends to be happening is that you are actually struggling with certain parts of what is happening with your consciousness, because you actually find yourself quite immobilized for some time. And part of what tends to happen, friend, is that you actually become quite, a little distraught over this. And that is actually a part, in a sense, of what then continues the process. I suggest to you, friend, that part of what you do is you really try to learn to step into it. So in order to really let go, you will actually find that, for example, you would be able to attract your attention to an area of your skin. And that will then, shall we say, to the back of your hand or something like that, and really, really concentrate upon that area. And you may well begin to feel that if you use that as a subject to feeling, that you then are able to feel the blanket or whatever it is, duvet, that you cover yourself with, that is actually something of a feeling that begins to come back. But I understand that this as well will then be enable you to be able to magnify that throughout your body. The problem that you have, though, is that it tends to be immobilization, and that really is the seat of a different part of your consciousness. So the answer to that is actually to make sure that your intake of various parts of what you are actually needing in your physical body life, that is something that is a constant.
Nutritionally, you mean?
Yes.
Mm. It's a horrible thing, though, isn't it, Tanya?
It is. It's one of the most frightening. It's like, it feels like it's the scariest thing I could ever experience.
It's like you're being held down, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like I can hear everything around me. If there's people in the vicinity, I can hear them. I know exactly what's going on, but I'm completely like paralyzed within my own body.
Yes.
Yes.
Does this happen at specific times, or for instance,
sometimes it won't happen for a while, and others I can actually feel it coming on because my eyes will start to roll in the back of my head,
yes.
And when I feel it, I'll fight it as hard as I can so that it won't happen. I'll actually get up out of bed for a while because sometimes it just, like, it will keep going and going and going, so I have to get up.
Yes, my dear friend. Mm. I do suggest, friend, that you actually have some analysis done of your both your pituitary gland and also to do with the actual chemical balance of yourself, friend.
Okay.
I really do suggest that you do that, because it is something which does tend to afflict people who are where they're actual physical salts are misaligned, and for those who actually suffer from it almost
regularly,
as a kind of a paralysis like that, particularly where you can, you are still in touch with the physical world, that it then becomes more alarming. I suggest, though, friend, that you do as well take some conscious decisions about brief journeys of meditation in order to bring you under a more perfect mind control so that you can lessen the fear that you feel. I suggest as well that you do that. I suggest, friend, that you use the Sesi meditation, which is the meditation of the conscious state, so that you actually learn to relax your way through thought forms that come to you. But I'm not saying, friend, that this is your fault. I am saying that what is actually happening, however, is that you're tending to return to fear that you felt fear before. And right. then it's a repeated process. Yes.
You'd better explain to Tanya about the Sesi meditation, because we haven't got it up anywhere and she won't be able to find it. Because
it's your
meditation from the spirit world.
Yes, quite so. So what you would have to do, friend Tanya, briefly, is that you would, if you will, that you would do this for just 10 minutes a day. That's all I'm asking you to do. And what you do is you sit in a straight back chair, you drink some water, and water is very important for you too, so you need to drink plenty of it, and not bottled water, but filtered water from a carbon filter.
Okay.
Now, the other part of this then is that, so you sit in a straight back chair with your knees and your ankles together, and then you say this little invocation: to my highest guides and helpers, second to none, bless me, keep me safe at this time that I sit, knowing that all that is said, done, heard, felt, and sensed in any way is with absolute love. And then simply all that you're going to do is the next thing that comes to your mind, you're going to practice letting it go.
Okay.
It's a simple thing. And then you'll get frustrated because you won't be able to let it go because you have a busy mind. But all I'm suggesting to you, friend, is that you just try to do that again and again. Don't get caught up with it. Do not become antagonized by your inability to let the thought go. Just simply relax and be at peace with yourself, and you will find that gradually you will become in control of your conscious mind by letting thoughts go that you don't want to be there. And simply then you will be able to practice this and practice this same thing when it happens to you that you have this form of paralysis which overtakes you. So that when you discover that you are in that state of fear, you will be able to use your powerful mind to control it.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much.
Okay, you'll have to listen to the archives.
Yes, I have a subscription to the archives. Yes, I always go in and then I get all the information. That was a lot of information. I really appreciate it.
Okay,
you are very welcome.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Let us know how you get on. God bless.
Have a great day.
And you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Yes, I have a friend that it used to happen to her. She didn't like to sleep in the afternoon, if she, you know, cat nap or whatever, because it would always happen to her then.
Yes.
Now that's weird, isn't it? And I think I can appreciate that. I think it used to happen to me sometimes.
But actually, my dear friend, that kind of situation is purely organic. It's purely organic. That is, it happens because of a certain chemical imbalance that's happening at the time that actually demands that you go to sleep to start
with. In the first place, yes, you're lacking in something.
Yes.
So you get tired.
It's usually iron, B6, B12, certain kinds of mineral salts as well that can simply be replaced.
And this person that used to happen to a lot was a vegetarian as well, and I don't think she particularly...
Yes.
Balance that out nutritionally.
Yes, so if the protein is lacking, that kind of thing, or whatever, oftentimes people who are vegetarian will actually eat too much wheat, for example, and wheat has a very high detrimental effect upon certain forms of human being. And because certain forms of human being are susceptible to it, particularly indigenous peoples, because they simply cannot cope with it. Their physical metabolic rate is unable.
Is it something that your body can get into a repetitive habit of doing, though, without, you know, subconsciously, I mean?
Well, that is possible, too. Actually, yes. That's why I suggest the Sesi meditation to, well, I suggest that, of course, for everyone, because everyone should be in control of their conscious mind. You shouldn't let it dither away, and you shouldn't actually allow systems and situations of the physical world to overrun you.
But you can also be in the situation where you are paralyzed, you've been asleep or you're going to sleep or whatever, and you think you can hear things in the room. It's happened to me before, and I've felt somebody come over and hug me or something like that.
Yes.
And I've not actually known whether this is a good hug or if it's going to stop at a hug or, but you can actually feel it. Somebody is there in the room with you.
I understand that.
So is that sort of slightly out of body experience, like a, you know, where your spirit's traveled somewhat, but you can still hear? It's like you're aware of the room.
Yes, but oftentimes, but it's because of the law of proximity, once again, because of the fact that you are actually unaware of where you are, although you can still assimilate with the physical earth time frame reference. You are also understanding that perhaps the hugging is usually from your doorkeeper, I have to say.
Right, so that's okay.
Yes, so usually it's about a reassurance. And oftentimes the situation that happens when you hear voices or situations going on in the room but there's nothing you can do about it, it is oftentimes because you're in between one place and another. It's actually because of the laws of proximity, which as we all know are actually to do with many failings of the conscious mind, purely and simply because you're a spirit first and foremost, just having a physical experience. So therefore, sometimes some of the situations, assimilations that happen to you and your conscious physical mind tend to be misplaced, tend to be put in to a convenient box, which isn't necessarily the right box. And so therefore, you think that it's a matter resolved, or you think that you've answered the situation, but in actual fact, you're much further from the truth than you ever would have believed.
I know that, I mean, for many, many years, and this obviously goes as is the same with anybody that it's happened to from a young age, you don't know what it's called. I mean, it's a pretty weird thing to happen, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a very strange sensation and scary, and trying to explain it to somebody. I remember trying to explain it to somebody, and they thought I was just totally barking, you know. I mean, because it is difficult to explain. And then, you know, years later, you hear sleep paralysis and its description. You think, well, yeah, that's it. That's it. That's what it is.
Yes, yes.
You know,
yes.
And it's sort of comforting in a way that there's a name for it and other people get it.
Yes. You're not as strange as.
Exactly. Well, we wish Tanya
you
well,
fear you
well
are,
on that.
Yes.
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 Okay, I have a question from Rosanna. And I'd just like to say, if you'd like to join us with a question to Gregory, then the phone lines are open. Number is free phone in the USA, 877-876-5227. Canada is 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free, but it's 001-530-876-3222. Question from Rosanna. She's been listening to some channeled information. I won't say it's who it's from. And she's wondering if the following is truth or belief, make-believe. Will human beings be given the opportunity to ascend from the third dimension to the fifth dimension once the winter solstice begins in 2012? Once in the fifth dimension, is it said the human body will be? It's said that the human body will be lighter, will not age, and death will be a choice.
Well, my dear friend, I am sorry to put a damp squib upon this, but the aging process is a physiological state of fact, which actually happens because of the bombardment of neutrons and micro cell structure of atoms which come from the sun.
Okay.
And actually go all the way through you and into the earth for approximately 8 meters.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how fast they're traveling. That they're able to go through anything, any building, unless it's lead lined.
Okay.
With the lead, which is over 3 feet thick. The aging process is actually not a spirit-based matter, but is actually a physiological matter to do with the carbon being that you are living upon a carbon world. Being that you, the same as all other beings upon the planet, are bombarded by the exact same neutrons and the exact same atoms, which are coming from the sun.
Okay.
So, to be frank, my dear friend, there is no date upon any calendar anywhere in existence which is going to have an effect or change that effect upon the physical human destiny.
Mm-hmm.
The physical stuff that you're made of is what it is. You can affect change to it to a limited degree by your state of consciousness.
And the way you look after your body.
Yes, obviously. Yes. And the way that you look after your environment, your surrounding.
Hmm. Death will be a choice. That's a good one.
Death will be a choice. Hmm. Well, to a certain extent, friend, death is a choice anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
People, when they are of a certain age, choose when to pass. The same as elephants choose when to pass. Actually, they don't wholly choose when to pass. Most elephants actually pass because of the fact that they've got no teeth. And that's a fact. So with human beings, it's not actually because they haven't got any teeth, but it's usually because something fails catastrophically and critically, so that person is no longer having a viable life
and it's
in
choice,
physical state.
And it's a choice in the way that if you don't look after your body, then your temple, as it were, then you will deteriorate quicker than somebody that does, presumably.
Yes.
Except for there's genetic
illnesses
and that sort of thing,
of course.
Obviously.
Yes, absolutely.
But generally,
if you have a person who decides that they really have had enough and that they want to return to the spirit world, it will usually take them about 7 to 10 days to actually see it through.
But is this something that only an older person could do when they are approaching that time of life anyway?
Yes, that is absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Usually the organics of physical matter state simply do not allow for you to have that element of control. I understand you used to know an individual by the name of Michael Hills.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a person who actually could clinically understand exactly what his heart rate was. And exactly what his pulse was.
Yes, I remember.
Was able to tell anyone, doctor, nurse, or whatever, you don't need that instrument, my heart rate is this and my pulse is this.
Mm.
And simply the reason why he could do that was because he was a spirit medium.
I know, but that's one hell of a gift, that he used to do all sorts of things, didn't he, as well,
yes.
A lot more than that.
Oh, yes. But so I'm not saying that all of this is past the realm of understanding.
No.
But I'm saying that none of it has anything to do with a date.
Okay, well, what about the the third dimension, the fifth dimension change? Okay, will human beings be given the opportunity to ascend from the third dimension to the fifth once the winter solstice begins in 2012?
So my point here would be that all those that were not able to do that, because obviously you're supposed to be able to do that if you're any kind of ascended being, then that would denote that all those who have managed to achieve it, so say, as they will say so on their own behalf, that they've managed to achieve that, well then, it's only a matter of power over their own consciousness. It's only a matter of their surveillance of themselves, and not necessarily an actual fact. Mm. They will say it's an actual fact, of course. But much of this is all about belittling other people, obtaining power, keeping it for yourself, and actually not really understanding the actual physics of the universe.
Mm.
So when you are looking at specifics to do with physical life, what you have to understand is that there are certain conditions which, yes, will increase the power of one. They are to do with knowing thyself. They are to do with illumination of your vital index, which will then raise your vibration through love. Simple. And that then will mean that your opacity will become less and less like soup and more like the spirit world.
Mm. But we're still living in the soup, unfortunately. So
and that
it
is
helps
true.
To a certain degree, obviously.
And you will, no doubt, when you are illuminating such love and when you are in that crescent fulfillment state, then what will actually be happening will be that you will be illuminating your pathway to your spirit. And that illumination will mean that your relationship with your pure, beautiful spirit will be more iridescent, will be more perfected. So therefore, you will not be so much in the physical world as in the spirit world. And the spirit world is not the fifth dimension. It's many different forms of reality. The point, however, is that many people illuminate to the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, 11th dimension, whatever it is. Oh yes, I've been here, been there, this is quantized in this way so that I can travel here, there and thither. But in actual fact, much of it is to do with the mind and nothing whatsoever to do with reality. So I say to you, friend, that for many people, they will illuminate a great gift of the gab.
Is it something in the spirit world? Do people talk in dimensions in the spirit world?
No. Not really.
Oh, so-and-so can't come to the halls of learning because they haven't raised their vibration or whatever.
That's not true, actually, because everyone can go to the halls of learning. The only bar that comes to you is if you want to read a particular book or be of a certain situation to perhaps encounter, shall we say, another creature, another being, and that you want to learn something of them, you cannot have it within yourself that you would have wanted to, shall we say, shoot them or eat them in your physical life. And at least you would have had to have forgiven yourself of that memory and also asked for forgiveness of those creatures you would wish to visit with. Yes?
Hmm. So really, apart from making sure that who we're communicating with in the spirit world are that they are from...
Who they say they are.
Yes, that they are from a higher vibration, a respectable, loving vibration...
Yes.
We don't actually have to bother about thinking about dimensions while we're on the earth plane, do we, that much? Why? Well, do, I mean,
no, not actually, really, yeah. Because my point here is one of clandestine proof. What proof do you offer that you were in this or that world? What proof do you offer that you were in this or that dimension? In the spirit world, it is possible and plausible for you as a pure, beautiful spirit to travel to many different places. In the physical reality, that becomes very greatly restricted, purely and simply because of the physical mind, and I have to say, if there are those people who are so egotistical that they would think of in terms of much more altered dimensional states, which are then supposed to be ascended for themselves, I would suggest that that denotes that person is not actually of that vibration. Because if you were, you wouldn't have to speak of it.
Hmm. No, you would radiate it, wouldn't you?
You would radiate it, and you wouldn't have to say anything. Right. Most people who are generally beautiful beings actually don't have to say that much. I talk a lot, but...
But you're not saying you're a beautiful being.
I'm not.
No. So, but...
I am, but I'm not saying that I am.
Well, we're all beautiful beings underneath
of
it
course,
all.
Of course, yes.
But a beautiful being would not have to say that they were a beautiful being or that they were ascended and or
exactly so.
All of those things. Because in saying that, then that sort of taints the whole thing, doesn't it?
If you have a being from the spirit world who announces themselves as Lord this or that, the chances are they are not.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, the group that you work with, you know, presumably we talk.
Yes.
In the introduction, I always say that it consists. The White Cloud Group consists of many great minds, and that sort of thing. You know, and that they have higher understanding, but that's basically because you have access to higher understanding.
Yes.
It's not that you're coming here saying that you are ascended masters or whatever.
No.
You know, preaching to us, listen to all of this business about when people channel this information about these situations, it's really to get people to listen to them and
yes.
We want to believe these things are possible, don't we?
I understand that.
Mm.
Whoever was it that decided to call the group of star formation the Pleiades?
Mm-hmm.
It was a human being. So my point is that it was not a cosmic name. My point was, it was a human description, the same as Neptune, the same as any other planet or any other star system that you care to name, because you are coming at it from a human physical viewpoint.
Mm.
Therefore, you cannot say that the people who come from the Pleiades are the Pleiadians, because they wouldn't know that they were the Pleiadians or the Pleiades.
Well, they probably do know.
Because my point is that that's purely an infraction of human mind.
Mm, but they know that we call them that.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
Mm.
But I'm saying that's not a given.
No.
It's a
See where you're coming
it's
from.
A ridiculous state of affairs when you would actually call a being who doesn't actually have a language structure that's anything like your own, or anything like any being that exists upon the planet of Earth. How can you possibly say that they are called this with a human-like name? It isn't possible. So part of where we come from in this whole situation is that when we are communicating with other beings, we are understanding that this whole situation, scenario, comes from minds which are outside human destiny.
Mm. Yes.
And therefore set in a completely different structure and completely different language.
Okay. Well, we've only got a couple of minutes left. So, let me see. Crystalline DNA. Is it possible to activate the current DNA to a crystalline level?
What's that?
What
does it
else.
Mean? What does it mean? To activate one thing to something else is, in fact, to either infer it's a chemical reactive state, it's a reactive state because of mind consciousness, therefore it is akin. Is it changing the cell structure? No. Is it changing the molecular structure of DNA? Very unlikely, because very little else is able to tell or change that structure of DNA. Your conscious mind and the way that it can manipulate facets of physical state, cell structure, and any other form or structure of your physical body carbon unit is usually through access of certain kinds of chemical structures to do with the physical body. So that means it's actually to do not with playing a mind game, but actually real physics and real physical biological matter transfer. So sometimes, dear friend, you are able to, for example, be able to change structures of your cell, shall we say, to do with the seats of pain that come. Seats of pain can be changed using the conscious mind. Not by feeding lots of love, but actually by training the consciousness to move within the pain and to minimize it.
Okay, we're going to have to talk about this next week, because there's also a second part to that question. I probably should have left it.
I expect I haven't even answered the first part yet.
No, that's okay.
So I think we should ask it once again.
Yes, okay.
Next time. Yeah.
All right then, thank you, Gregory.
Thank you so, love and light.
Thank you. Well, we hope you've enjoyed the show. Thank you for your phone call. And I'd just like to mention our website is www.spirit-teaching.com. And Gregory also gives Akashic readings, one-to-one Akashic readings, telephone readings. If you're outside of the UK, where we are at the moment. So find out more about that on our website. And thank you so much for listening. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.